You ready?
Sure. Okay. I'm Marie Gray. I'm 60 years old. Today is February 9th, 2008. We're in San Antonio, Texas, and I'm the mother of the young woman here.
And my name is Rachel Gray Castro. I'm 27 years old. Today is February 9th, 2008, and we're in San Antonio, Texas, and I'm interviewing my mother. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead and...
Well, we talked that you said you want to talk about strength in your family. So, tell them about your mom and dad.
Well, that's why I wanted to do this, since my mom was going to be here and couldn't because she's ill. So I thought my tribute to her and my dad was to talk about what I think is the heritage of strength and actually rightness that they have given to me and to us from who they are and what they became from how they started in life. So it really is a tribute to them.
And how did they start, your mom and dad?
Well, my mom was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She's from a very poor family. She was born in the 1920s, 1925. Her father and mother were, because of religious differences, were sort of ostracized, were ostracized by the families, the respective families. Her father was an Irish Catholic, and her mother was a German Lutheran. Her father was an abusive alcoholic. So she had a very difficult childhood. They were quite poor. But her dad died when she was young, and she was sent to live with an aunt. And her sister was sent to live with another aunt, and her brother was sent to live with a third aunt. So they were broken up when they were quite young. And again, the homes to which they were sent were very difficult. It was a very hard childhood. So that by the time she was 17, she was ready to leave. That was during World War II had begun. And so, to leave town, she forged her birth certificate. And joined the Army.
The Women's Army Corps, right?
She was a member of the Women's Army Corps, WAC, which I know there are few that are left, certainly from World War II. And so that's how she came to leave Philadelphia.
And was she stationed in Angel Island right away?
No. First, she went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and that's where she got her basic training. She had never been outside of Philadelphia, and she went on this, she says, rickety train, scared to death, 17 years old, and went to this foreign place for her. After basic training, then they put her on another train, which they were cattle cars, actually, that had been cleaned out and benches put on and sent to Angel Island, which is an island in San Francisco Bay, which I know subsequently very few people are aware of, that it was a, not top secret or anything, but just was not advertised. And even people who live in San Francisco are unaware of where it is and what it was used for. So anyway, she was sent to San Francisco, Angel Island, to be based there. That's the first half of the story.
And then how did your dad get to Angel Island?
Well, he was born in, I'm not sure if it was, he lived in Granite City, Illinois. That's where he grew up. Again, very poor. His dad was a steel worker. His mom was a housewife, a mom. Some of his stories are really fun. They he was Croatian. They made their own wine, and literally are. He did have to put on clean socks and stomp the grapes in a barrel. So when he, at 17, this is part of his story, at 17, he had an attack of appendicitis. And for 5 days, no one could diagnose it. And his mom finally took him to a brand new spanking doctor who diagnosed, said, you've got a ruptured appendix. So he had suffered with a ruptured appendix, which again is an interesting story, which I won't take a long time with, but there was no penicillin at that time. And what they did was operate on him and take all of his abdominal organs out, and the doctor washed them off with sterile water.
Yeah.
And that's how he saved my dad's life.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember Granddad saying his organs aren't in the same place, because he often talked about how he'd been rinsed off inside.
Well, the doctor told him, don't ever let anybody operate, because they'll never be able to figure out what's what. So anyway, he's still recovering from the surgery. It took quite a while. And he was drafted into the Army, because, again, this was World War II.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to get a medical
exception
from it, but that wasn't good. So he went. He was in the Army, and they sent him to Angel Island. Which, before I get into that, I have to say, because you're here, Rachel, that before he had his attack of appendicitis, he was a member of the CCC Corps, which did all that building and park building and dam building prior to World War II during the Depression. And what is that connection with you,
Rachel?
Yeah,
the CCC became the National Civilian Conservation Corps, which led to AmeriCorps and City Year, which is what I did, a year of service in City Year here in San Antonio.
That's right.
So, yeah, I was always very happy to talk to him about City Year because, you know, he was reminded of CCC.
So you and your grandfather, my dad, have this connection that is very unexpected, which was really neat. So anyway, he was shipped off to Angel Island, and he was there probably about 2 years before my mom got there. She was in the first group of women who were stationed on Angel Island. He was in... on the sidelines when their group, their whatever it's called
troop.
In the Army, their troop marched onto the island. She had very red hair and green eyes, and he was standing there watching, and he said, that's the one I'm going to catch about her. So eventually they did meet, and after 2 years they dated and ended up engaged and marrying.
Yeah.
And, but I guess what I want to say about this, this is the strength and the rightness. Both came from poverty, but what they both had to go through to get where they were, the internal strength. Mm-hmm. My mother, especially, was just determined that her life was not going to be the same as her mom's and entrenched in poverty in Philadelphia in the way she had grown up. That was one thing. And the other thing was that she was determined that her family life, her children, were going to have a better family life than she had had. And those two things, I think, gave her strength to get through some experiences that otherwise she may not have. And my dad, it's having that physical problem with the surgery and with the ruptured appendix. What it took to become a soldier, and both of them at the time, this was the right thing to do.
Right.
America was under attack or was hurting with the Depression, with the war, and they were just doing their duty. So I really think of them as being part of the greatest generation. That, and they're not special in sense of there won't be any statues for them. There won't be any plaques or scholarships in their name. Mm-hmm. They were just one of the very many who in the late 30s and the 40s and then into the 50s who did their duty, who found strength of character, respect of personhoods, who just did what needed to be done for themselves and for their families. So,
and going back to the story of them after they got married, they had you.
Yes. Okay. They got married and they lived in San Francisco for about a year. Then both of them were discharged and they moved back to my dad's hometown, which was Granite City, Illinois. Big steel town, lots of pollution, mm-hmm. not the very best place to grow up. I got sick a lot, had pneumonia a lot. Mm-hmm. After being married 10 years, actually, they mm-hmm. were married 10 or 11 years, and they got told, because of me, that they had to, one of three things would happen. I would die. Mm-hmm. They had to put me on very expensive medicine mm-hmm. for the rest of my life, mm-hmm. or they had to move.
Yeah. And how many of you were there at that time?
There were six of us.
Six children or?
Six children.
Total.
Okay. And
six
went on children. The way.
Yeah.
And my mother's sister was married to a shrimper yep. from Louisiana who had moved to Brownsville, Texas.
Yep.
So my dad got laid off. He, at that time, was working as a distributing sodas, soda water.
Mm-hmm.
And he got laid off. And so my uncle invited him to come down and become a shrimper, which my dad had no idea what that meant, had never done anything like that, and they were kind of desperate. So they packed up their belongings
and six children.
And their six children and one to come yeah. and moved down to Brownsville, Texas,
yeah.
which we thought was the end of the world. It was a very different culture.
Yes.
The heat was humongous. The food was different.
Yeah.
People spoke a different language.
Yeah.
And we had no idea. But again, the strength
yes.
in my mind that they showed, the strength of character to do mm-hmm. whatever was necessary for the well-being of their family.
Yes.
Didn't know what they were going to be getting into. Left family. Mm-hmm. My dad had a lot of family in mm-hmm. Illinois. And left there
mm-hmm.
in their station wagon with all the kids and what belongings they had and came down to this very strange place. And it was, we weren't there for a few months when the shrimping went bad. My aunt and her husband moved back to Louisiana and left my mom and dad
yeah.
there by themselves. No yeah. relatives, very few friends. And yet they plowed ahead,
mm-hmm.
Put one foot in front of the other, took care of their family, would do anything they needed to do to take care of all of us and keep the family together. Again, I just think it took such strength of character.
Yes, yeah, to just leave with almost nothing and go to almost nothing and just make a life.
And again, that sense of rightness. As parents,
yes.
this was what they needed to do.
Yes.
This was the right thing to do, to take care of their children and their family. And they had quite a few rough spots
mm-hmm.
in that. My dad, not only was he a shrimper for several months, he was the cook and was seasick the whole time.
Oh.
I think he was on the boat, not a ship, a little bitty shrimp boat, for about 6 months off and on, mm-hmm. and was seasick.
Yeah.
And my mom was by herself raising, trying to take care of the children. And I just know it was a very difficult time for them. But they plowed ahead. And when my aunt and uncle left, my dad knew he couldn't. By that time, he had quit the shrimping because mm-hmm. for a couple reasons. One, he was seasick, and two, he missed the family so mm-hmm. much. He missed my mom and he missed the children, and he knew the shrimping life was not for him.
Mm-hmm.
So we quit, and one of my sisters had broken her arm, and the day that they were at the end of their rope in terms of running out of money, not knowing what to do,
yeah.
an insurance agent came up and said, well, I know your policy has lapsed, but it had not run out, and here's a check for your daughter's broken arm.
Yeah.
And my dad and mom were so impressed with that, and that particular insurance agent was looking for more agents in the area, and that's what my dad said. hey, I'll do that. Yeah. Kind of raised his hand and said, yeah, I can do that. Yeah. And that's what he ended up doing. And again, they ended up with a few rough spots with that, but ended up owning their own little insurance agency and having four more kids, so that there ended up with 10 of us. And we stayed, even at that time, stayed very close, and I think now are very close as a family because of my mom's determination to have a family and my dad's just incredible strength of character to take care of us. I know before we moved down to Brownsville, he at different times worked three jobs. He would work his day job, a weekday evening job, and then had a different job on the weekends. And I just find that amazing that he would do whatever he needed to do to keep us fed and clothed and housed. So I just really think they did a fabulous job.
And how did they pass this idea of strength on to you children?
The best example I can give of that for me is the strength of character I found when my sister was ill.
Aunt Teresa.
And when she was diagnosed with cancer and needed someone to be with her, she and I were not very close, but it was obvious she needed someone to help her through what we didn't know what was going to happen. I have a medical medical technologist by college degree, so I have a little bit of a knowledge of medicine. And I, at that time, was kind of in a part-time job situation, so I had the time, and I became her medical companion. That's probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, and I've had three fabulous daughters. So I'm a mom, and I know what that is, but to walk with her through that journey that took 2.5 years took every bit of strength that I've ever had. And I think during that time, I was very aware. No, not very aware. It was kind of like in the back of my mind that I could get through this, that she could get through this, but that together we could get through this through the chemotherapy and the radiation and the increasingly difficult toll, the illness. But my mom and dad, again, were there, even at their age. They were much older at that point in time, and they came regularly, and how much they depended on me and those of us who were in town to take care of Teresa, to be there for her. But it was their strength of being, even at that time, that helped me on those days when I didn't think I could go with her to treatment one more time, knowing that they were going to be coming up that weekend. How could I not do that? And again, it was the right thing to do. I don't feel like I did anything special. It was just what family does for family. You're there for one another. You just find the strength to do it because it's the right thing to do. And so that's what I see. That's how I was a child of their qualities, my mom and dad's qualities. So, yeah, that's it.
And I know there's some, there's a lot of strength needed now with Grandma.
Yeah, because she's ill now, and I guess that's one of the gifts my sister, who died gave me is the realization that all of us walk on the edge. That the difference between life and death is one breath.
Yeah.
And how important it is to value the time, the life that we have at this very moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we are on the edge. And so the importance of the time I now have with my mom, that if I can spend time with her, then that's what I'm going to do. If she's going to come visit us, then nothing else matters.
Yeah.
If I have the opportunity to go down there, nothing else really matters right now is to spend time with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also helped, I think, as a mom, treasuring my children, that the time we have with them can, with you, with your two sisters, with my grandchildren, is so very valuable. I know my mom and dad never expected to have a child die before them.
Right.
And so the reality that that can happen. So how important it is to treasure each of you and the moments that we have with you. Because, again, we just live on the edge, and things happen.
Yeah.
Accidents happen.
Yeah.
Illnesses happen. And so it's just important to embrace you when I can and to value you when I can.
Yeah.
So other than that, I was thinking about this, you know, talking about this. And me too. I'll never have a plaque in my honor, never have anything big. I've not discovered anything. I'm not an artist. I'm not not anyone really important. But maybe make up the everyday persons who are people, who are this country. And just the value of that, I suppose. And to understand that there is a huge world out there, but the value of my little world and who I am in that little world and who are the people that are important in that little world.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like Mother Teresa says, you know, do small things with great love. And I think we do that.
Maybe that's what it is, yeah. Yeah. The things I do are small, but maybe they just, if I can put out a little bit of positive energy into the cosmos, do my part in that way, that maybe that will add to, because I certainly don't have the answers to the big problems of the world. But if I can love my children and my family, and have a kind word and a smile for the clerk at the store or the person on the street, or I can recycle my soda can and my newspaper, that just those little bitty efforts will add to the positiveness. If everybody did that, maybe that would help.
And you did teach a lot of that to us girls. You know, when you consider me and Lisa both being teachers, we touch so many lives in small ways just every day. And Sharon with inheriting the insurance gene and taking care of people's most basic needs, their health needs.
I thought about that. I could not be prouder as a parent. Because, I look back and I think, again, that comes from my mom and dad that I hopefully have passed on to you, that sense of service, that's what I see in you and your sisters, two teachers. There were no teachers in my family, but the impact, oh my gosh, is incredible that the two of you have on children. On people learning. It's just amazing. And your sister that, again, she is in a service industry. I look back at all my siblings. Mm-hmm. Every one of my 9 and now 8 siblings is in a service.
Yes.
A service job, a service occupation, a service vocation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes from that sense of giving
mm-hmm.
that I grew up with
mm-hmm.
and that hopefully has been passed on to you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think with the way that we were raised, being stable and having, you know, for the most part, knowing where our next meal is going to come from, we were able to move and add that to the world. You know, we tried to improve other people's lives because we did have stable lives for the most part. And
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think we did talk, and I think you grew up so much with mm-hmm. that idea that, yes, our family is so important, and it's important to nourish and strengthen our family so that
mm-hmm.
you can reach out mm-hmm. to others, that it's not something to hoard to ourselves,
yeah.
the sense of security and or knowledge and or love and or whatever,
mm-hmm.
That it is something that you give to others.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that the three of you certainly do that
mm-hmm.
In your occupations. It's just, it is. Yeah, it is something that is to be given away, to be nurtured and taken care of, and then to be given away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
anything else you wanted to talk about?
Oh, I don't know. I guess that was just it. I've always wanted to honor my mom and dad and to connect them with you.
Mm-hmm. Like we talked at Grandpa's funeral about the legacy that he has left with his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And, you know, we are just passing it on as we can.
Yeah. How simple that they were both just really simple people
mm-hmm.
who held family, rightness, strength, courage, perseverance,
mm-hmm.
That they did that.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. so did make the world a better place.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. The sacrifices they made coming out of the Depression, coming out of such poverty, and doing what they did
mm-hmm.
and passing that on to their children.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what else. I'm not sure what else. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
She's saying we're good. Anything else?
No, I guess the only thing was, what do you see? What do you see from those grandparents that you see in your life?
Mm-hmm. I think the stability that, you know, even in a chaotic circumstance, they held such stability and did keep their family together that that has led to my idea of service and being strong even when it's difficult. And I think Lisa and I pass that on to our children so much, our students, and then Sharon helping to create that for people,
mm-hmm.
And even creating it in our own families with, you know, with Sharon's children and all. So,
I guess one other value to add to all of that was a sense of commitment.
Yeah.
That came so strongly.
Absolutely.
You know, here was my mom and dad, their sense of commitment to their country at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And not just country, that's such a broad, diaphanous kind of kind of thing,
uh-huh.
but to the people mm-hmm. of America.
Yeah.
That was what they were doing. And then when they married, their sense of commitment to one another, their
yes.
sense of commitment to their family
yes.
That they certainly gave to me
mm-hmm.
and my sense of commitment to my husband and my sense of commitment to our children.
Yes.
And I think that you guys have that.
Yes.
Is very much a sense of commitment
mm-hmm.
to you and your husbands. And then to the world, Mm-hmm. And in the little ways, the small ways that you really do have a commitment to other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you with your, always your camp.
Yeah.
The camp for the handicapped children. Your commitment to CityCorps,
mm-hmm.
which tied you right back to your granddad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your commitment to teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's just... That warms a mother's heart.
Good.
Good.
All right.